Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about a haunting in Blue Hill, a paranormal mystery. And I do think, watching the whole movie, the reason you were doing this really was for Kenny. And I think that Kenny got, at the end of the film, it felt to me like Kenny got what he needed.
Yeah, I would say so, for sure. And you're right, we did. He knew that we were the right people for that. Through our Bigfoot world, we had known him very, very well. So it was really a labor of love on all parts. You know, the reasons behind making it and the whole collaboration of going through that process was good for all of us.
Because at the very end, there's a scene where you're basically communicating with a spirit. And yeah. It just seemed to watch him in that, even and you, Alan, it was you and Alan, wasn't it? You and him, just the two of you. It just felt like it was kind of like we're watching in on this special moment you guys were having with this spirit, this communication.
And it really was. I mean, the moments after that, even after the camera was turned off, well, we were both really emotional. I mean, there wasn't anything more we could do that night because we were just so stunned at how everything went down and how, you know, how real it was.
And Jesse, you weren't, or maybe you were behind the scenes during that part.
Actually, I was upstairs, to be completely transparent, I was upstairs filming B-roll at the time while they were doing that. So, yeah.
Jesse was getting interior shots of the house, and my plan was to set up the paranormal devices so that when he came back, we could start an investigation. But as soon as I turned on the REM pod, it just went, and we had no choice but to just go because it all happened. It was just waiting for us. It all just happened so fast.
And after looking at the footage that they captured, Jesse, how did you feel about that, being kind of a skeptical person? I felt like it really seemed, it was a very touching scene to me, actually. Like, it was like somebody wanted to communicate and get, and let themselves be known. And kind of maybe, I don't know if the spirit ends up kind of leaving or if it was sort of a goodbye, maybe. I just found it touching. What did you think, Jesse, when you saw that part?
No, I agree with that. I think it was a very powerful moment. And I know Alan and Kenny felt that it was kind of a closure for that spirit. And that's kind of the feeling that they shared with me. And plus, of course, I've watched the video multiple times of that part. I think, you know, from if you will, the skeptical part of me, I would have liked to have been down there just to observe it in real time as it was happening. But, you know, whatever occurred did occur. And it's a very unique experience that I don't think a lot of people get to experience. So whatever that was, it was, I'm glad that we were able to capture it on film.
And it would be interesting to know the previous tenants, if they'd had any experiences there. You know, or was it Kenny going in and kind of starting to do some renovations and obviously finding what he found, if maybe that's kind of what stirred it up?
I mean, that's what we think. To know Kenny is it makes more sense. He's a really in touch kind of guy, especially with his Bigfoot research that he's done over the years. He's very open to this kind of thing. He's just a really caring and giving person, and he's full of lots of love, and you can just feel that when you're with him, it's infectious. So it doesn't surprise me that he would bring out that kind of thing that maybe other people wouldn't. He's definitely a one of a kind kind of guy.
And after that last scene in the cellar, in the communication and everything, after you guys left, or maybe right after that happened, it seems like the activity kind of ramped up for a little bit.
Yeah. He called me while we were on the road driving back to Colorado, and he was like, "What did you do?" He said, it's like the basement's alive, and there's a portal open. There's just all this stuff happening, all this energy and noises. And he was there by himself that night, and he was pretty freaked out.
And did that last very long, or did it kind of
just that night, and it kind of calmed down.
In his
But I can tell you, I heard from him last week, and he's back in Nebraska right now because he did move back to Colorado shortly after we did the filming, actually. But he's back in Nebraska finishing up some of the renovations, and he stirred up some more stuff up there. He's been sending some photos and video of things that have been happening at the house in the last couple of weeks. So still things happening.
And it could be other spirits. It doesn't have to be, it might not be anyone that you encountered yet.
Right. So one of the questions that kind of came up during all this is, you know, the symbolism on this door is very purposeful and unique. And one thought that our team had, and some of the people that we talked to, some of our, I guess, experts, wondered if that door in the images wasn't symbolic for sort of a doorway or a portal to another world. And you know, the thought is, if we take that door down, which did happen, have we permanently closed the portal or permanently opened it?
Oh,
you know, that's one of the questions that we kind of have, you know?
Yeah. That's a big question. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
So I don't know if I'm answering the question, but kind of working off that, there has been conversation, and I may not be the best person to speak to this, but there was conversation that has come up as people looked at these objects where that there's the doll,
mm-hmm,
and whatever spirit may be attached to that, but there's also the book. And some people have suggested that there's actually a spirit tied to that as well. And it's been kind of there's been some differing of opinions on what the purpose of those two or what the intent of those two spirits would be. One being that the book is essentially the book and the entity that would be attached to it is holding the entity within the doll. Through whatever means, but being essentially intimidation through that. But there's also the other side of this conversation through some varying opinions has been that no, they're the spirit or the entity attached to the book is actually protecting the entity in the doll. So I wouldn't say it's been contention, but it's definitely been some differing of opinions and insight on that potentially being something that plays into this, combined with the whatever that intent and purpose is of the artistry that's on the door.
It's a really strange grouping of things.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, because as I was watching it, and I imagine each of you might have your own opinion of what that was. I thought maybe somebody found the book in the house and created this doll, because I don't know where you could buy a doll quite like that. And I would assume someone made it because it's a very unique doll.
Yeah. So what we found was after the film was kind of done, I found a pattern online that is almost identical, but there are some unique differences between that pattern and the doll that we have. But we do believe that it was probably handmade from a mass-produced pattern.
That makes sense.
I think Madison had done some solid research into that.
I actually bought the pattern. I have it in our little collection.
I don't know that I'd want to go making that doll.
I actually did.
Oh, yep. And how did it go? How did that go?
I had a lot of fun making the doll. I wasn't able to make the dress. The pattern we have is very similar in many ways. It's a little bit different in a few ways, but it definitely gives the impression that it could have been a doll that was a pattern that it was made from. But nothing scary from making it. Had a lot of fun learning the techniques that went into making it. And I was very lucky to have the original doll as inspiration, because otherwise I don't think I could have recreated it.
I thought that the clothing on the doll didn't really seem, it kind of surprised me. It was kind of cutesy. And right. I thought that was an interesting choice of clothing for the doll. So I had kind of wondered if that was a choice that someone had made to put the doll in that particular outfit. So the pattern that you found, did it have that little outfit that the doll was in?
It's not quite. There's some lace on it, but it's very similar.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a very similar pattern, and it was actually originally made from a handkerchief, the one in the pattern that we referenced. The one on the doll, what I found really unique is that it was stitched into the pattern. So that dress is completely not removable
from the doll itself. Which wouldn't be easy to do. You'd have, I don't know quite how they did that without stitching it. Was it stitched all the way through?
No, so it was primarily stitched around the neck.
Okay.
So the collar of the dress was also the collar around the goat's neck. So that was a very unique choice. That is not something I see in modern dolls at mm-hmm. all. And I unfortunately just don't have the basis in historical dolls to know how common that was. The sleeves were not attached. The legs were not attached. It was really only at the neckline. But
yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Now, what ended up happening to the box doll Cole book, that collection of things?
Well, we had... lots of opinions, of course. You know, the movie started filming probably a little over 2 years before we finished it. So this has been a long journey. It's taken a lot of time. It's been sort of a side project for a while. So a lot of different opinions. Quite a few of them made the film. A lot of them didn't. We have more opinions that we didn't put in there. So there was a lot of debate on that. But what we ended up deciding on was that the doll shouldn't be in the box. So right now I have the box and the coal in one place, and I have the doll in our living room, and I have the book somewhere else.
And does that seem to be working out okay? When you kept the objects, did you start picking up on any activity? Or does it seem to be super chill? Everything's okay where it's at?
We stared at it quite a few times while it was sitting there in our living room.
And by our living room, so you don't live by yourself. So did you have to get this okayed with your partner?
Well, my partner is Anna, so that was...
Oh, Anna, how did that go? were you okay with that?
Yeah, it was okay with me.
I don't know if I would be.
Well, the first night that we brought it in, it's in a case to kind of protect it from dust and things like that, and to keep people from touching it. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I just heard a soft, childlike voice come from downstairs that just said hello, and I just pulled the covers up over my head and went back to sleep, and that was it. We haven't heard anything since.
And just that one night.
Yep.
It's so interesting. My mother recently moved to a different location, so I'm packing her up, helping her move. She has an old cedar chest with dolls in it, which I'm not excited about bringing them to my house, but I'm going to. But there was one really weird doll in there that we're like, where did this come from? And she goes, oh, I've never seen that. And so we threw it out. We threw it out. Yeah. Like, I don't
know.
It was very odd. It was like, I'm going to guess probably from the late 1800s. It was leather and looked like they had painted, like it looked like a kind of a fur trapper sort of guy. It was the weirdest.
If it ever happens again, you know who to call instead of throwing it out. We'll take the case.
Well, I've got 6 or 7 other dolls I will let you guys have. So what about the door? Did Kenny keep that then?
No, I have the door as well.
Oh, you have all of it.
What we're currently doing is we're scheduling public screenings at quite a few different places. We're in the middle of negotiating a few now. We've built an exhibit out of these items. So we'll be showing the movie and having the exhibit there, and then our team will be there to answer questions and talk about the film, just like we are with you. And it's sort of a Haunting in Blue Hill live show. We have a few things scheduled and a lot more to come. I'm currently working on a website, hauntinginbluehill.com. It's not up yet, but I would say in the next couple of weeks it should be, and that'll have the dates and how to get tickets and all that stuff.
In the Trails to the Unknown, you have other episodes too, and you can watch them on Amazon, YouTube. There was another location you could stream.
So they're on Tubi and a few other services.
Yeah. So is this something that you guys have a new season coming out? Do you have some others that you're currently working on or thinking about maybe doing filming it?
Yeah, we've got about probably 3/4 of season 2 done. We got interrupted during an episode, which I don't want to spoil because it'll be part of the episode, but we need to go back to that location and finish filming. But we hope to have that put together, end of this year, hopefully. And then right now, Blue Hill, Haunting in Blue Hill is available on Amazon Prime. You can rent or buy. And then we're happy to announce that we've signed a deal with Paraflix, which is a paranormal subscription service. You can get their app on the Apple and Android stores. And Blue Hill will be premiering on there on January 26th. And then they'll also have season 1 of Trails to the Unknown. And then we'll probably release season 2 with them as well at the end of the year.
And I would invite, now I watched it on Amazon, but I think if people should look at the website, and I'll put a link on the landing page, the description of the show, wherever you're listening. But I think it would be really interesting to go watch it with a group and then see these objects in person. I think that's a great idea.
So we did that in Estes Park, Colorado. We did the premiere October 13th, and we had this whole event was there. And, people really enjoyed it. The other nice thing is we were able to do a ghost hunt at this old theater, and people were actually able to ghost hunt with the items there. So it was really, really cool for people.
Now, does Kenny want any of this back down the road? Is he just fine with you guys having it? Because I would be fine.
You know, he does say that he doesn't want it back, but when he sees the doll, he says he misses it. So I think, when this is all done and over with, we'll probably give it back to him.
Now, I have to ask you guys before I let you go, because you've mentioned it a couple times, Bigfoot and Sasquatch. Yeah. So what are you guys' thoughts on that as a team? Because I've talked to people before who say, that's real. They definitely exist. Other people say, absolutely not. I've never seen anything or any evidence, so I don't have an opinion on it. What are your thoughts?
I think the opinion on this team is going to vary very greatly. But
we'll start with you then.
Yeah, I'm definitely a believer. I've had a sighting and a lot of, experiences over the last decade or so.
And then I'll go to Anna. What are your thoughts on it?
I've had a few interesting experiences, but not enough to say definitely. Alan and my dad, who's been a part of a lot of the Bigfoot stuff, they're both leaning towards a metaphysical type of Bigfoot being. So, yeah. And then Jesse?
Yeah, Bigfoot's not real.
That's it.
I just wanted to rile up some of the believers out there, get them going.
Okay,
so here's the thing.
So I was going to say, if Bigfoot isn't real, what about like Momo? In Missouri? Yeah, Momo in Missouri or one of the others.
The list goes on. Yeah. But the skunk ape in Florida and...
There's a lot
The Yowie in Australia, and we could go on and on. So Alan and I, that was really, I guess I'll call it our first, with intent and purpose, our first organized effort to, go looking for something. I won't drag this out, but basically it started in 2009 with a trip to upstate New York, and we were living in Ohio at the time. When we came back, we did a little more research, found out they hold a conference every year in Ohio, and it was literally like a week after we got back or something. So it just felt like everything was lining up. But it's in terms of just what I've experienced, you know, even in all the, you know, hundreds of times Alan and I have gone out into the woods, I have to say again, you know, it's experienced a lot of audio, sounds, animal sounds that I can't readily define or establish as to what that is. And, you know, a lot of the classic stuff. I say tree knocks. I mean, something that doesn't sound like two thin pieces of sticks being banged together, something larger. We've heard large things with heavy footsteps running through the woods, but I just haven't had a visual that really satisfies me at this point. So, but I've heard enough to where that's why, you know, I love to keep going out. Plus, I love being in the woods. So that's an easy one. But, but yeah, it's still going out because I've heard enough where it keeps me excited and interested that, you know, maybe one day I can be one of these people that, you know, has a visual sighting of something.
Kind of like the paranormal. It's like you keep looking long enough and you might find that one thing.
No, yeah, absolutely. I hope I'm open-minded enough as the skeptic, if you will, of the group that, you know, something's out there. I want to believe, you know.
Madison, what do you think?
I think there are paranormal events. I have not made up my mind about Bigfoot at all. But I do feel like a lot of things are attributed to the paranormal that otherwise could have more concrete explanations. But I believe there are paranormal events and there are energies attached to different items.
For me personally, I have had paranormal experiences, things that I can't explain. I've never had anything to do with a Bigfoot type of creature. So I don't have a basis to believe or not believe, I guess. So you guys do, what did you say it was, Alan, like a Bigfoot adventure or a Bigfoot?
Yeah,
something
it's
coming
called,
up.
It's called Bigfoot Adventure Weekends. The 2024 tickets just went on sale a couple weeks ago. It's basically a week-long camp out where we feed you, all the meals are included. We do primitive camping, and then we break out into small teams and we go out into these Bigfoot sighting hotspot areas and try to, you know, have an encounter with people. And we've been pretty successful. We're on year 12 now. I think we've been doing this quite a while.
And how can they get information? Is it through
BigfootAdventureWeekends.com?
Oh, that's easy.
Yep.
Should have thought of that myself. I think that would be really interesting because to me, it would make sense that there isn't one Bigfoot.
Exactly.
I could see how Missouri would have the sighting of one thing. And I could also see how it would look different in different places.
Yep.
You know, regional. So yep. I don't know.
So our event is very geared toward people that have done this before or people that have never done it before. So it's a whole range of those kind of people. And our weekend is really focused on the individuals. It's not about us. It's about giving each person an experience. We want people to go home and not talk about the people they met, but talk about the things they got to do.
So this year, when you guys go out on the Bigfoot Adventure Weekend and you actually get some good photos and evidence, you guys call me. Let's do an episode.
Absolutely.
I want to hear all about that one. So the film, Haunting in Blue Hill, you can watch that on Amazon. I really enjoyed it. And there are some twists to the film that I didn't really see coming, and I don't want to give that away. And so I want other people to watch that and they can form their own opinions. But I thought it was very well done and I really enjoyed it. So next time you see Kenny, tell him I hope everything's okay at the house.
Awesome. We will.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Thank you. Yeah.
But thank you so much for your time tonight. I really, really appreciate your time and I enjoyed our conversation.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank
we appreciate you.
You
taking the time.
Yes,
as well.
Thank you.
And that wraps up our conversation about A Haunting in Blue Hill. You can watch the film on Amazon Prime, and you can get more information on Trails to the Unknown and watch some of their other films at trailstotheunknown.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.